From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. Floodwaters are slowly beginning to recede. In Cedar Rapids, Iowa, thousands of people were evacuated and more than 1,300 city blocks were swallowed by water. Much of the city's drinking water is now polluted. People in Iowa City, Iowa, are on edge. The Iowa River will crest in the next 2 days, and water is seeping into the grounds of the University of Iowa. Minnesota Public Radio's Tom Weber is in Des Moines. He says it's not just the cities that are facing disaster.
As you drive north through Iowa, you know, certainly the Cedar River and the Des Moines River are getting a lot of attention. But if you're on an interstate, for example, anytime you come up to a river that's any bigger than a creek, and even the creeks, they're all swollen. And it's not difficult to find farm fields in Iowa that have been flooded. There are some estimates that the farm fields, just the agriculture in Iowa, could take a $1 billion with a B dollar hit. Certainly the big cities, you know, when the downtowns get flooded, that gets a lot of attention, but the river damage, the flooding, is definitely widespread.
Minnesota Public Radio's Tom Weber reporting. President Bush, who was in Europe, says he is concerned for those affected by the flooding and noted there are a lot of people hurting right now. Mr. Bush arrives in Britain today on the next leg of his farewell tour of Europe. After he visits with Queen Elizabeth at Windsor Castle, he'll meet with Prime Minister Gordon Brown. Larry Miller reports from London.
The President and Mrs. Bush will have dinner tonight with Prime Minister Gordon Brown and his wife Sarah. On Monday, discussions at Downing Street between the two leaders will focus on Iraq. Responding to reports that a final British troop withdrawal could happen by the end of the year, Mr. Bush told the Observer newspaper troop reduction should be based on success and not a definitive timetable. Britain's Defense Department says no decision has yet been made, and the president said he's confident Brown will listen to the commanders on the ground to make sure, as he put it, the sacrifices won't be unraveled by unwarranted drawdowns. The talks are also expected to cover Iran's nuclear program and the global fuel and food crises. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai is warning Pakistan Afghan troops will cross the border to pursue Taliban militants.
Afghanistan has the right of self-defense. When they cross the territory from Pakistan to come and kill Afghans and to kill coalition troops, it exactly gives us the right to go back and do the same.
Karzai has long demanded Pakistan confront Taliban militants. Afghan troops also say 15 militants have been killed as Afghan troops search for missing prisoners. This is NPR. A judge in Ontario has given the Canadian Auto Workers Union until tomorrow morning to remove a blockade around the Canadian headquarters of General Motors. That's in Oshawa, east of Toronto. The block went up more than a week ago, protesting GM's plans to close a truck assembly plant there. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
Workers say they will continue their blockade for as long as they legally can until the Monday morning deadline. The automaker went to court last week looking for an injunction to end the blockade, saying it was disrupting operations. The union says 2,600 jobs will be lost when the plant, one of four in North America to be closed, will be shut down in September of next year. In granting the injunction, Judge David Salmers recognized that the company would suffer financial harm if the blockade were to continue, but he also chastised GM, saying it acted deceitfully in announcing the closure just 3 weeks after reaching a new contract with the union. Salmers said the auto giant came to court seeking a resolution to a situation that it created. He said, "I find without hesitation that GM did not come to court with clean hands," adding that executives must have been at least aware of the possibility that the Oshawa truck plant might have to be closed. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
A British newspaper reports a second batch of top-secret documents from the British government has turned up on a British train. The independent newspaper says it has the documents, and these discuss an international group that's been created to fight financial crimes and the financing of terrorism. The paper says it's returned the documents to the British government. Japanese authorities say 9 people have died in this weekend's earthquake. A tremor with a magnitude of 7.2 rocked northern Japan yesterday, collapsing bridges and triggering landslides. More than 200 people have been hurt. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.